Your prophet Amos, who reminded us that God is not interested in worship that does not lead to transformation of ourselves or of the world. But what is pleasing to God is when justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. So this Lent, we are focusing on transforming ourselves into persons who do not prevent equality from reaching every corner of creation, but persons who contribute to justice rolling down among us. The element of water is sacred to Christians because we use it in our ritual of the sacrament of baptism. This is our baptism set that I poured water into at the beginning of our service. When Jesus was baptized, the sky opened up, and God proclaimed, "This is my child, my beloved." And to this day, we repeat that ritual, baptizing with water and saying aloud what's already true the first day that we are born: each person is a child of God and is God's beloved. So on Easter Sunday, we're going to have an opportunity for any who have not yet been baptized, but who wish to receive this sacrament, to experience that ritual in the presence of this community. Cornel West, American philosopher, political activist, and author from Tulsa, Oklahoma, said, "Justice is what love looks like in public." Each Sunday, our service will be built, as I mentioned, around a new sacred song for social justice written by Mark Miller. And today, our song was called "Child of God." No matter what people say or think about me, I am a child of God. No matter what people say or think about you, you are a child of God. No matter what the world says or thinks about me, I am a child of God. This was pretty much the message that the Apostle Paul was trying to convey to the Romans in his longest letter in our Bible. The book of Romans is the first epistle in the New Testament, coming right after the four Gospels and the book of Acts. An epistle is simply a book in the New Testament that is a letter that was written by an apostle. And an apostle is an important teacher in the early Christian church. Paul wrote this letter to the Romans. It was a church that he had neither founded nor ever visited yet in his life. But Paul had heard about problems that were arriving in the church. At the beginning of Christianity, there were Jewish Christians who came from the faith and heritage of Jesus, and there were also Gentile converts, people who began following the way of Jesus but had not previously been Jewish. In Rome, there was a tension between these two types of Christians. And Paul wrote to them to remind them that it shouldn't matter what your heritage or your differences are, that we all belong to God, we're all children of God, and nothing can separate us from God. Paul uses a lot of rhetorical questions in our scripture in Romans 8. This is known as one of the most moving pieces of scripture in all of our Bible. Of course, a rhetorical question is used to make a point rather than to receive an answer. He does expect that the answers to his questions should be obvious. He asks, "If God is for us, who is against us? Will we be separated from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" A modern-day rhetorical question might sound a little bit like this: will we be separated from Christ's love by hate crimes or racial profiling, by detentions or special registrations, by surveillance or occupation or genocide, by unjust legislative bills, cuts to health care, access to food assistance or clean water, or by nuclear weapons? No, nothing can separate us from God's love. A United Methodist pastor in New York City, Reverend Vicki Flippin, wrote the following reflection about not being separated from God, no matter what our circumstances. She said, to the prisoner. It means that you do not belong to the bars and chains around you. You belong to God. To the addicted. It means that you do not belong to that thing which you crave. You belong to God. To the dying. It means that you do not belong to this body or to that cancer. You belong to God. To the patriot, it means you do not belong to this nation. You belong to God. To the debtor, it means that you do not belong to any bank or credit card company. You belong to God. To the empty and overworked, it means that you do not belong to your company. You belong to God. To the depressed, it means you do not belong to this sadness. You belong to God. To the abused, it means that you do not belong to the person or the memories that hurt you. You belong to God. And even though it might feel like, look like, smell like, hurt, like you belong to all these other things, as sure as water is wet and God is good, I heard a voice out of the heavens say, you belong to God. On March 1st, an advertisement ran in the Daily Oklahoman containing the names and addresses and worship times of 43 Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Sikh, Unitarian Universalist, Baha'i, and Hindu houses of worship in Oklahoma, which support the message of tolerance and respect for all peace-seeking people. Our two churches were listed among those 43. Amen. The ad ran the day before the third annual Muslim Day at the state capitol, where Muslims from all over the state gather for civic engagement. Members of our churches and communities greeted them outside the state capitol with signs and words of love. The communication was meant to convey that we know you belong to God, that you are a child of God, and that no act of discrimination from our government or other citizens can take that away. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So this Lent, we are being asked to give something up. We're being asked to give up those things in our lives which prevent God's dream of justice from rolling down like a mighty stream. So, what prejudices can we give up for Lent? Who do you look at and forget that they too are a child of God? What daily practices and places that we spend our resources and time get in the way of us becoming active instruments of peace and agents of change in the world? This week, like many of you, I was watching the new miniseries about the history of LGBT rights on ABC and Hulu called When We Rise. Too often throughout the history of our movements for social justice and equality, we have failed when we only cared about our own small group of folks who look and act just like we do. The times in history when justice has flown more freely is when we remember that all are children of God, when we band together with all of the ways that our identities intersect, then we are stronger and the waters of justice flow faster and freer. So I challenge us this week to speak a word of hope, of love, of joy, of victory, of peace into someone's spirit, and to move about our world remembering that each one we meet on the street or see on the television or come across online is a child of God. And will that fact change how you interact with others? Nothing can separate a person from God. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or anything that is created. May it be so. Amen.